You ever wonder if a Hotep dog comes up to a group of dogs and says, "You know we're supposed to be wolves, right? Purpose. Thank you guys for tuning in this week. I want to talk this week about purpose. How do we fulfill our purpose? How do we know if we are accomplishing our purpose?" And just like I said in the trailer, I don't really have a perfect answer for this. So there might be a lot of pauses. There might be a lot of silence because I am talking out loud. I try to read on whatever the subject is I'm talking about for the week. And then I take my own personal experiences and I use those in an anecdotal way to talk about whatever it is that the subject is. With this week's subject being purpose, it's really unique because obviously at 40 years old, I haven't fulfilled my purpose yet. You know what is super dope about Moses? Moses, for all the things that he accomplished, right? He took his rod, he parted the seas, he led the children of Israel out of captivity. He had hot bars, you know, let my people go. That was Moses. But the coolest two things that Moses ever did in his life, he never even got a chance to see. One being setting foot in the promised land, right? So you do all this work and you push yourself and, you know, I'm sure he had challenges and different things that we read about and we know about and things we probably don't know about. And he overcame all of those things to fulfill the purpose that God had for his life. But he still didn't get the chance to set foot in the promised land because of his disobedience. And the second thing, and this is probably something that you might not even know, is God personally buried Moses. He lived such a dope life that God himself buried him. Dope. Right? Talk about only need one pallbearer, right? But both of those things, he really didn't get a chance to experience because he was dead for one. He saw it from heaven, probably. And the other one, God allowed him to see, but he didn't get to experience. So did Moses fulfill his purpose, right? I don't know. I think that he did the best that he could while he was here, and he accomplished a lot. But I don't know if Moses fulfilled his purpose. But if his purpose was to set foot in the promised land, then he didn't fulfill his purpose based on the fact that he was disobedient and lacked self-discipline in doing what it is that God told him to do. I think this is the exact same thing in the same way that we can end up not fulfilling our purpose, as if we don't have self-discipline. If God gives us a prophetic vision and we don't execute it, it can lead to us protecting our peace, right? I thought about that a lot this week. My grandmother, this is a hot bar too, so you'll probably see it on TikTok. My cousin, real bad. My grandma asked my cousin why she wasn't dating. And my cousin, super dope. Big time executive for a big time company, lots of accomplishments, good cash flow. Very smart girl. But my grandma said, "You know, why aren't you dating?" and she said, "I'm protecting my peace." And my grandma said, "The only peace that you have on earth is Jesus, and he don't need your protecting bar," right? Old people have a way of saying stuff that really causes you to have to check yourself because they've been through so many things in their life. And I thought about that. How does protecting your peace keep you from your purpose? Well, we have a bunch of examples of this if you are a biblical person, right? Job wanted to protect his peace. That didn't quite work out for him. Jonah was all about protecting his peace. He told God no a bunch of times, right? Even Moses, to some degree, was protecting his peace when he did some things as well. And in every instance where they went and did the thing that would allow for them to have the most peaceful version of their life, they weren't fulfilling their purpose. So for all my protect your peace fellas, for all my protect your peace girlies, look at yourself, look at your situation. Decide for yourself if your stagnation in your life, right? Or even your peace in your life is your purpose. And if you're not fulfilling your purpose, then maybe you shouldn't be protecting your peace, right? If your peace is Jesus, Jesus' only decree was to, in fact, spread the peace. In fact, it was, don't protect your peace in order to spread my peace, right? All the people who went out and, told stories of Jesus' death after he died, almost all of them were crucified, killed, jailed, etc., etc., etc. Not protecting their peace. I think what I would say is we have to find a happy medium between what society tells us today we should be doing and leaning a little bit more into that voice that tells us what we're supposed to be doing. I myself have to go back and forth with this all the time too. And I'll tell you what I do because it's called How to Fail, right? So I'm not supposed to just be preaching at you guys. I'm supposed to be telling you guys how I failed, and hopefully you won't do the same thing. One of the biggest ways that I've failed is negotiating with God. Let me give you a perfect example. God tells me to go across the street and pick a rose. And I tell God, you know what, God? That's a great plan. So what we'll do is I'm going to finish this thing that I'm doing right now. And then once the cars stop going through the street and there's less traffic and the sun goes down a little bit because it's hot, then I'm going to go across the street and I'm going to pick that rose and I'll just do whatever you want me to do with it. When God's decree was to go across the street and pick the rose, right? Now, because I negotiate, I have the opportunity to miss out on whatever the purpose was that God had me to fulfill in the first place, right? So that's one way that I failed. The second way I failed, and I think a lot of people struggle with this one, is I'm sitting on a boat in the middle of the ocean, and God tells me to go across the street and pick the rose. I don't understand how to go across the street and pick the rose. I don't see any streets, and there's surely no rose bushes. What does this mean? Well, ultimately what it means is I have to strengthen my relationship with God so that I have a better understanding of what it is that he wants me to do. One of my friends from high school, Austin, shout out to Austin. When I posted the trailer, he said at the end of his prayers, he always says, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And when I pray, what I always say is, I always say, your will, not my will. You know, your way, not my way, guide my steps. And I think that that's it's a hot bar, right? It's a very cool thing to say, but it's really, really hard to execute because we have will. We have things that we want. We have things that we want to accomplish. And sometimes the things that we want, we will make them our purpose when in fact that's not what God would have for us to do. And that's where free will comes into it, right? So because I'm sitting in a boat in the middle of the ocean and God tells me to go across the street and pick the rose, well, now I'm frustrated. Well, I don't understand. This obviously wasn't for me. I'm supposed to swim. Not understanding that God has a purpose for the message that he told me, and that because something is delayed, it doesn't mean that it's denied. Right? So by strengthening my relationship with God and having a better understanding of what it is that he wants me to do, I can have a better understanding that this boat is going to port at a dock, there'll be a street, and there'll be a rose across the way, and that's the rose I'm supposed to go and get. So a lot of times, it's not that we're disobedient, it's that we're not willing to do the work in order to understand the message that God sends us. Me. Specifically, I'm not doing the work in order to get the message or have the understanding that God has for me. So what does that mean, right? Ultimately, it means that our purpose is less about the moment and it's more about the journey, right? The ultimate journey of our lives is to be here, help people, love, and live as abundantly as possible, in my personal opinion, right? I think there are different purposes that we have. I think the purpose in your relationship is to grow and evolve with your partner, right? Speaking once again about my grandparents, my grandma's 92, my granddad is 90. They've been married since my granddad was 18. At this point, 76, two. Yeah, a lot of years. They've been married for, I believe, 76 years or so. A couple of years ago, my grandmother was absolutely upset with my granddad. She was 90 years old. My granddad was 88. They have been through everything. They literally existed in a time before television, right? Didn't they exist in a time when television only had ABC, CBS, and NBC? Didn't they exist in a time when television wasn't color, right? Then they had experience in a time when TV was cable, and now they're living in a time when TV is becoming almost non-existent because of streaming, right? So they've lived a life. They've gone through civil rights movement. They've gone through racism, financial hard times, the crack era. They've raised their kids. They've raised their grandkids. My grandmother was absolutely upset with my granddad a few years ago because she said he didn't want to do new things. She wanted to eat lamb chops and he just wanted to eat spaghetti. And my granddad was like, we didn't even have lambs when we were born. That's a new animal that just came out. Like, we shouldn't be just eating things that just came out. And my granddad, he sat with me and he said, you know what? He said, I have to rise to the challenge. He said, where do you get lamb chops from? That's what he told me. And he found a restaurant in Hobart, because I'm from Indiana, that had lamb chops, and we had them delivered to the house, and my grandmother ate the lamb chop, and she was pleased. She enjoyed it. And I can't remember if my granddad had any or not, but it was his purpose at 88 years old to step up to the challenge to make my grandmother happy by allowing her to have the experience to have lamb chops. It's such a small part of their life. It might not even be anything they ever reflect or remember, but I learned a lesson. And the lesson that I learned was, what your purpose was 50 years ago might not be your purpose today. The thing that made you happy today might not make you happy tomorrow. That's okay. Be willing to adapt and to be fluid with your purpose and the way you go about your business. Same thing at work. You might take a job and it might not be the job that you want, and you might not understand how that job fits into your ultimate purpose. But if you go at it with a positive attitude and you work hard at it, there's more than likely something that you'll be able to find at that job that will help get you to whatever the next level is that you're hoping to accomplish. Same thing with your faith, right? I myself am a Christian babe, regardless of the fact that I've been a Christian for at least a hardcore 30 years. I continue to strive to want to know more and to grow my relationship. The more I am trying to walk in my purpose, the more I'm realizing it's a journey of self-discipline. And that journey is ultimately the journey of doing exactly the opposite of what society says that we should do, which is to be self-indulgent. It's to turn away from the things that challenge us. It's to give up on the people that hurt us. It's to find the things that are easiest for us. It's to seek out the life of leisure without earning it, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So as I try to become a better man, a better father, a better employee, a better partner, what I'm learning is the way for me to accomplish that is through self-discipline. So the more I'm disciplined with myself and the way that I go about my business, the better I am when it comes to showing up and fulfilling the purpose that I have, because every single day has a purpose. Every day is a step towards the ultimate story of your life, right? Whether that's trying to eat healthier so that you have enough time to fulfill the purpose, right? Whether that's denying yourself certain indulgences that will dull you or take you away from the focus that your purpose might require. These are all things that I try to get better at, and I'm trying to walk a stronger walk with. Another thing that keeps us from our purpose is fear. There was a time when I had the biggest crush on somebody ever. Like from the time I was a little kid, through teenage years into early adulthood. And the person I had the crush on, it didn't seem like they were really interested in me, right? It didn't seem like that was my purpose, right? As we lived life and we got a little bit older, it seemed more like that person was into me. Like I did have the opportunity to have this person as a potential partner. Now, she was brilliant, right? As all outdoors. And I was detoured from pursuing her when I think I had the opportunity to because of a lack of self-confidence in my ability to fulfill the purpose that I thought she had for her life. And she had kids. And that scared me. It wasn't that I didn't think I could be a good partner. It was that I was afraid that I would let her down or I would let her kids down if I came into her life and tried to be a partner. I knew how great my stepdad was, and I knew all the things that he was able to do, and I feared that I wasn't good enough in order to accomplish this. And I didn't want to be another man that let her down. Now, that could be my promised land, right? Because of my disobedience and believing in myself and going and pushing forward, it might be something that I got a chance to see. But nothing that I ever had the opportunity to set foot in or experience. So don't let fear keep you from your promised land, ultimately, right? I guess what I'm saying is things will happen in life that you will be afraid of. I have a million different examples. The things that ultimately worked out for me, usually in the biggest ways, are things that I was terrified to do. And people didn't necessarily think I was qualified for. But because I stepped out and did them boldly, because God told me to do them, they oftentimes succeeded. Don't allow the box that people put you in to dictate where that box, if you stand on top of it, will allow you to see and will give you the opportunity to accomplish, right? So many great things can happen when we get out of our own way. I am notorious for getting into my own way. I am notorious for getting into my own head. I am notorious for talking myself out of things that I'm meant to accomplish or meant to do. These are all normal things that I'm working through, and I believe you guys are working through as well. As you go along on your purpose, recognize the rams in your bushes. Recognize the allies and the people that you have who give you little confirmations, right? I always talk about God's little messages, right? You know, you're walking through a song and you hear a song, and the song is a direct relation to something that you experienced that confirms something that God told you, right? When I was in college, when I went to college, everything I owned fit inside of a Rubbermaid tub. I didn't have a whole bunch of stuff in high school, so I didn't have a whole bunch of stuff to take to college. When I got to college, I was elected freshman class president. Miraculously, for whatever reason, who knows? But one of the requirements was that I have a purple tie. I didn't have a purple tie. I didn't even have a suit. The only suits that I had really had at that point were Easter suits growing up. I had a suit to my prom, which was white with a pink tie. I had rented a tuxedo, so I didn't arrive at college with a suit. I met a gentleman by the name of Lonnie Banks. He had never met me before in my life, and we just started having a conversation. He was an alumni of the school that I went to, and he asked me if I had my tie for convocation. And I was like, no, I don't have it. I'll figure it out. I have to, you know, get a couple bucks and I'll go out and buy my tie. And he was like, you know what? I'm gonna buy your tie for you. And I was like, okay, cool. Like, whatever, you know, this is a tie. So I got in his car. It was a dope Nissan Armada. Drove to the mall. He took me to the men's section of Dillard's, which is like one of three stores in Marshall when I went there. And he got me a purple tie. And not only did he get me a purple tie, he spoke to the salesperson You got me two suits. You got me four shirts. Got me pants. And I mean nice stuff. Like this was my first Ralph Lauren shirt that I ever owned. He bought it for me. I think I still have it actually because it's sentimental. Even though I don't fit it anymore because I'm sexy now. But he bought all these things for me. And when he took me back to the college, he said, "One day when you have the opportunity to do this for someone else." And it's a story that most of you have probably heard because I tell it all the time in business and I tell it all the time in, philanthropy and these different things. It was such a genuine act of kindness towards me. And it really confirmed me being in college because I didn't feel like I belonged there. I didn't even apply to go to Wiley. I was going to play football. I got injured. I lost my football scholarship. And I found myself in Marshall, Texas, never having applied and on full scholarship. And that act of kindness that he gave me was the confirmation that I needed to know that I belonged there. Other confirmations, when I graduated from college and I went to my first job, a gentleman by the name of Mark Cobb saved me from losing my job when I wasn't very good at it, when I first got into education. And most of you guys know that I've been an education rock star, for 20 years, but I didn't start out that way. I didn't know what I was doing, right? It was another situation where I didn't feel like I belonged based on the people that I was there with. And he pulled me to the side and he held my hand when he didn't need to because he was my boss. He could have just let me go and got somebody else. And he taught me that I was enough and that if I just slowed down and believed in myself, I had everything I needed to succeed. And that was a gentle confirmation that that was the place that I needed to be. I remember when I moved to New Orleans, Ken Thomas was my director at Blue Cliff College. Same thing. I had to take a drastic pay cut to go down to Louisiana. I was making probably 150 a year, and to go down and work in Louisiana, I took a pay cut of like 100 grand. I was making like $54,000. And when he called me, he told me, "Hey, I don't have any money to pay you, but I need you here, and this is where you're supposed to be." And I went down there, and that community embraced me, and I learned so much, having an opportunity to work for Black people, which was the first time I had ever done that in my career. And even though I wasn't making a ton of money, it was literally the confirmation and the push I needed to succeed. Even though it was a hard time financially for me, it gave me the opportunity and it gave me the tools that I needed to get to the next level. And when it was time for me to go to the next level, I moved to Augusta, and I worked at a place called Virginia College. So I'm fulfilling this purpose of being able to change these communities through education because this is the education that my mom got. My mom ultimately went to Virginia College when I was a little kid. So when I was 3 and 4, she was in our kitchen living room getting a business certificate from Virginia College. So I got the opportunity to work for Virginia College, and this was my first president's position as well. It was another community that was Black, but I was once again not believing that I was good or smart enough to be there, at age 29 when I was there. And I was fortunate, another gentleman, Floyd Thomas, he was one of the gentlemen that I met there who was a Black man who was taking care of his community. He said, "This place will do wonders for you if you let it." I remember, like it was yesterday, we were drinking beers, and it gave me the warmest feeling to know that there are people that I look up to who feel the same way. And if they feel that way and they're okay, then I can be okay. So as you go about your process of fulfilling your purpose, look for God's small confirmations and knowing that you're doing the right thing. I remember when I had my kids, I was terrified that I'd be a terrible dad, right? It was those same little confirmations of, your kid holding onto your finger the first time that they meet you. Or I remember my son was born. It was dramatic. He was in the NICU. And I remember him looking at me as they were trying to get him to breathe. And I remember his color coming back and me hearing him cry for the first time. And it was such a relief. And it told me, like, hey, if we can make it through this first day, then we'll probably be okay. And we made it through that first day. And my son is a handful now. So, all of the strength and peril that he went through his first day, he is beyond capable of dealing it back out now. I don't know what my purpose is, and you might not know what your purpose is either, and that's completely okay. Wake up with each morning with purpose. Put purpose into your day intentionally, and it'll reveal itself. I think that's all I got. How to fail, episode 4.